In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Justice. Justice for the nations. Justice rings all through Isaiah's servant's song. Justice is what Yahweh's servant will bring. Justice is what he will do and make and establish. Justice for Israel. Justice for the Gentiles. Justice for all the earth. Unfaltering, unerring, certain, and universal justice. To each and every one he will give what is proper and right and just. That's Yahweh's unfailing promise, the hope of the whole world. Israel, of course, was not the only place where people thirsted for justice, where justice was sought and looked for and hoped for. In every century, in every nation and people, in every culture, justice has been sought and argued over and defined and redefined. From the stone-carved laws of Hammurabi to Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for nominees to the federal bench. We all know the daily struggle to know and find and do some rough approximation of justice. From playground protests that's not fair, to the anguish of disasters that wipe out tens of thousands of lives in a moment, we know the quest to read meaning and moral order in the events around us, to find justice. It's remarkable, really, that people have so widely and so fervently thirsted for something they have so rarely seen or experienced. For justice, even the approximate, more or less relative kind of justice, which is usually the best we can manage, is a rare and fragile thing in this bent and broken world. In the second book of Plato's Republic, Socrates and his companion Glaucon argue about the meaning and value of justice. Socrates wants to persuade his friend that it is always good to do justice and always bad to do injustice. But Glaucon is a pugnacious debater and not so easily swayed. He sets out to make the opposite case. To illustrate his point, Glaucon proposes two extreme cases, a just man and an unjust man. The unjust man is perfectly unjust. That is to say, he pursues consistently his own selfish ends without regard to what is right and proper for anyone else. Most of all, this perfectly unjust man manages to keep his injustice hidden and concealed. As Glaucon says, he who is found out is nobody. In other words, if you get caught being unjust, you're a mere amateur. The highest reach of injustice, says Glaucon, is to be deemed just when you are not. That's Glaucon's theory of really effective injustice. As a result, he says that this hypothetical unjust man, while doing the most unjust acts, will have acquired the greatest reputation for justice. Such a man, through his perfect injustice, prospers and thrives and gains wealth and power and reputation. On the other hand, there is the just man. Now, to be really and truly just, this man must not be tempted or tainted by any of the rewards and recognition that people give to what they perceive as justice. So, the really just man keeps his justice a secret, just as the unjust man hides his injustice. If the just man's justice is recognized as such, you can't tell if he's pursuing justice or simply the rewards and benefits connected to justice. So Glaucon proposes that the just man be clothed in nothing but pure, unadulterated justice, which means he must be seen by others as the opposite of what he is. Let him be the best of men, and let him be thought the worst. Then he will have been put to the proof. And let him continue thus until the hour of his death, being just and seeming to be unjust. Glaucon then clinches his argument by setting these two men, the perfectly unjust and the perfectly just, side by side. When both have reached the uttermost extreme, the one of justice and the other of injustice, let judgment be given which of them is the happier of the two. The answer, he says, is clear. Gods and men unite in making the life of the unjust better than the life of the just. Well, he does seem to have a point, doesn't he? In this bent and broken world, it does often seem that the worst of men prosper and succeed, while those who are really about the struggle to know and to do justice suffer and lose out in the rewards they ought to enjoy. Besides, people can rarely agree about what justice really means in specific situations. Is it just for some to be poor and others to grow rich? Is it just to deprive the wealthy of some of their lawful property in order to redistribute that wealth to those who have less? Is it just to dish out harsh punishment to criminals? Or is justice served by compassionate attempts at reform and rehabilitation? Justice, justice. That's what we need. Glaucon's world, our world, is a world in which justice appears weak and debatable and ambiguous and elusive and uncertain. And then here comes Yahweh's servant, his chosen one, the one he upholds and delights in, the one named Jesus Emmanuel, and he's going to bring justice just like that. No doubts or vagaries or ambiguities or uncertainties. With Yahweh holding his hand, he walks right into this bent and broken world and does justice. Justice for Israel. Justice for the nations. In the power of the Spirit of Yahweh, the servant embodies a different kind of justice. One that we recognize, but that we have never seen before because nobody ever thought it up. It's God's justice, Yahweh's way of being and doing what is right, and Yahweh's way is not about dishing out to each exactly what he has coming so that we all get what we deserve. God's justice, the justice Yahweh's servant brings and does and brings forth and establishes, is about catching hold of the weak and the fading before they are utterly lost. It's about patching up the wounded and the bruised and nursing them back to health. It's about making the weak strong, making the blind see, setting prisoners free, turning on a light in the dark place. God's justice comes by the quiet voice of the servant, not shouting over the clamor and noise, but speaking peace where we thought no peace was possible. In a fractured world and in our chaotic lives, this servant who establishes justice is not discouraged, and he does not fail. The justice of forgiveness and release and restoration, which he establishes and brings forth, will cover the whole earth because God is the creator of the whole earth. It is his, and he loves his creation, all of its peoples, and he wants them all to be whole and alive and find hope in him. Yahweh's servant came bringing justice. And he looked remarkably like Glaucon's perfectly just man in the Republic. Let him be the best of men, and let him be thought the worst. Then he will have been put to the proof, and let him continue thus until the hour of his death, being just and seeming to be unjust. Yahweh's servant sought no advantage for himself. He lacked for nothing and gives everything. The best of men was counted the worst and became a curse for us. Why? Because Yahweh loves the people he made, all of them, you and me included. And so he sends his servant Jesus to patch us up, to keep us from being snuffed out, and to hold us together and to make us see and to make us free. He is Yahweh. That is his name. That's how he does justice. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.